Our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day, dear Jesus. We thank you for your continual blessings, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, that we are authentic in our walk, dear Lord, in our service to you, dear Jesus. I pray for those that are in the house, those that desired to be here and could not. Lord, I pray a covering for those that are out sick, dear Jesus, and just struggling with health in general, dear Lord, whether it be physical, spiritual, dear Lord, or mental, dear Lord. We're asking for your blessings to abound, dear Lord. We thank you right now, dear Lord, for the precious word of God, dear Jesus. We thank you for Pastor, dear Lord, that he's taken the time to be before your throne, dear Lord, that you may minister to our hearts on this afternoon, dear Jesus. We come expecting to hear a word from you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord. I pray that you continue to feed him, dear Lord, even as he shares, dear Lord, that his cup runneth over, dear Lord, and your blessings, dear Lord, reach us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Up to my one.
All right. Thank you. Like you did it. You did good. You did good. All right. Big Mike, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good, brother. We are ready to roll. All right. We already prayed in, so you guys, didn't you just pray in?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so why you guys standing up? Y'all got something to say? Y'all got something to say? Why y'all standing? Hallelujah. I'm going to get my glasses. They probably like, Pastor, we're just standing up. Tell you to get your glasses on. Thanks, guys. Okay. We're live? Are we live? We've been live. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go. And we are not, the Lord wants to remind me that the world is doing what he said, not, and he's not doing what the world says. You guys understand that?
Yeah.
You know that history has been dictated by the Bible and not vice versa?
Yeah.
Do you know God knew who the world powers would be before the world powers became?
Yeah.
Before there was a Babylon, before there was Alexander the Great and Greece and Persia and the Roman government, God had already wrote about that in Daniel.
Yes.
So the Bible is dictating the earth's activities. And it seems to be a surprise to some people that even though the Bible predicted that we would be in the situation that we are now, because I watched a bunch of financiers talking about the new digital currency that's coming and how they have all of the wrinkles ironed out, that they're going to be able to have everybody have the ability to purchase items throughout the world with the same chip, and they'll be able to identify who spent the money from your chip, how much you spent, and what country you're in.
Wow.
And your location. So they were sitting and they were talking about it's all been ironed out. We will have a one world economy. We will have the ability for everybody to spend the exact type of currency, but it will be through the chip. And I have the video and I'm going to send it to Pastor Ben. I hope that he puts it on our thing, because the people that sent it to me, some of them were shocked. Like, do you hear this? I was like, I've been hearing about that since since Revelation chapter 13. You know what I mean? That's been around since 90 AD. They're just catching up to the Bible. So you guys have to understand the Bible is generating all of the activity in the world. It's doing exactly what God said it's going to do, okay? Now, if God told the world who's going to be all of the world powers, and he names them all, and how they're going to fall, and he names this event that's happening right in front of us, and it's happening, then who do we trust? The people in the world, or do we trust the one who wrote the book and that seems to be obeying everything he wrote, even though it was 2,000 years ago? So he's trying to get the children of God to wake up, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a scripture that the Lord told me to open with, and I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I believe it's verse 20. Let's see here. Let's see, do I want to start right there? Let's start up a little bit higher, because let's start at verse 16. It says, so from now, We regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I feel like I'm in church now. So if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. I want to really stop there because I think this past week I was telling everyone your citizenship in America is over. Okay? Stop fighting for America. Because when we leave, America is not going to be fighting for God.
Amen.
And a matter of fact, America really isn't fighting for God right now. So let go of this allegiance to a place that's going to go into demise, as all of the nations are going to go into demise, okay? You might be proud to be an Italian. Italy's going to come against Israel too. All these nations are going to come against Israel. So you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, meaning that you have never existed before. Now you say, well, I've always been here. No, you didn't, because you didn't have the Spirit of God in you. What you have living inside of you never existed before. You never had a conflict with sin until the Spirit of God came inside. And then now every time you do something, you feel differently, like it's wrong. When before you did that with no problem, you could do it the next day and the next day and the next day, and it'd be no problem. But now the Spirit of God is inside of you, and everything, oh God, why'd I do that? Well, you are a new creature. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that's called the Spirit of God. He's inside of you, trying to conform you into the image of the one who died for you and gave you that new spirit to make you a new creature. Mm-hmm. I'm a brand new creature.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the mind of Christ. Here we go. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is your ministry. What is your ministry? To reconcile people back to God. That's what we're here preaching. I know you think you're okay, but I can see you're still diseased. And we have a cure. The cure will reconcile you back to your Creator. That's what we're here. We're preaching, but we are here, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And through God, we're making an appeal He is making an appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So, he has made us ambassadors. And if you don't know what an ambassador is, you'll lose your way. I think one of the things that need to be explained to Christians is, first of all, you're giving up your nationality. You're really giving up your claim to your strong claim to race, because you want to go, you know, the black man and the black man, and we got to stick, keep it real. And you've given up that. You understand? Your whole demeanor has now changed. You understand? Because your spirit man is overriding everything, because you're part of a new family, and God is making both Israel and Gentiles one family. Okay? So that there's no... So he's saying everyone that comes into Christ is going to be one. Okay? And so now you're ambassador. And you're here for a purpose to do what? To minister reconciliation. That's the only... If it wasn't for that, there's no reason for us to be here. Now, this is what the Lord's question to me was. If you're an ambassador and you're living abroad, and your country is about to blow that country up, they say, hey, how you enjoying your time in Italy? And you're like, it's wonderful here, the wine's wonderful, I'm mingling with the people, la, la, la. And he said, well, tomorrow we're going to blow it up. So we sent the plane to do what?
Pick you up.
Take you home. So if you're an ambassador, when your people know that they're going to have trouble in their country, they call you home.
Yeah.
Because they know war is coming. So they call you home. They say, you say, yeah, but I still have a lot of work to do here.
Psst. Work's done.
Your work's done. You're ambassador for us. We'll tell you when your job's done. Your job's done. Get home. As an ambassador, you have to realize that you don't live there. You are there for a purpose, and you should always know this is not your home. So we're here for a purpose, but you're leaving. But you have accommodations while you're here. Your country is taking care of you well while you're here. But eventually, you gotta go.
That's right.
And especially if there's danger in the country, or there's war in the country, or coming to the country, you gotta go.
Yeah.
I was in junior high school one time, and we had heard this gang that used to be in the 70s called the Brims were gonna come up to our school at lunchtime. And I used to love the Browns. They dress nice. But they was coming up to our school. They told the East Coast Crips, we know what happened to our friend, and we coming up there tomorrow, and it's on and cracking. So I'm walking out to lunch, and I see the security guards running that way.
Ooh.
Because we have school security, right? They had the little shirts on. All the security is running that way.
Opposite direction.
So you know what I did? I ran that way too. I said, what you running for? If you running, I'm running, right? I look at the side and I see about 40 Brims hopping the fence. And I know they got guns, because you're not gonna hop the fence and we got security. I know they got guns, and these security guards have made it sure that you understand we're not here for a shootout. These security guards are like, we are here to observe and report.
That's it,
right? They take security serious. So they running the other way. I look at the outside. The Brims are jumping the fence. The East Coast Crips, I don't know where they are, but that's who they came for. So I run the other way, too. When they ran out of the school, I ran out of the school. And they called the police. We had the police there. Some people got shot, blah, 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 blah. But I knew one thing. Once they're leaving, mm-hmm. I gotta leave. Yeah. Just from being in the neighborhood, I knew.
Hello.
Right?
Amen. Ain't no heroes.
We got Christians saying, Christians. Well, Pastor, I think it's kind of cowardly for Christians to want a pre-trib rapture because the world's gonna need us then. Okay. And this was my answer to her. You know how to use the phone when somebody clicked?
Oh.
That's it. I didn't even answer because I was like, that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. Thank you for your question. That's ridiculous. All right? No more than I would have stayed at that junior high school than I want to be here when evil is released.
Right.
Okay? So understand that the Holy Spirit is here living inside of you for a purpose.
Right.
And that purpose is for you to represent where you're from.
That's right.
And where are you from? You're a kingdom citizen.
Yes.
Your citizenship is now in heaven. You are a group of righteous people, bought by blood. You are only here to try to reconcile others to your kingdom and the mentality of your kingdom so that they can go when it's time for you to go. That's the only reason you're here.
That's right.
So the Holy Spirit is only here for a short time, and then he has to leave. But there's a war going on. Doesn't matter. It's time for you to abandon. Okay. I need us to go to Genesis chapter 8.
Hallelujah.
Because someone told me a long time ago, I'm trying to think of her name because I have a lot of names. I'm going to say Elena. She said, Pastor Sandy, Jerry, I thought it was a wise thing for her to do at the time. But at the time, I was on so many other things, I didn't listen. And I didn't agree with the study, but I should have listened to what she was saying. She said, Pastor Sandy, you said you fasted for 7 days in 2016. Because I knew 2017 was coming. You fasted for 7 days. At the end of your fast, you asked God, okay, 2017 is coming. What do you want to tell me? What is this end time message that you want me? I said, when is it going? He said, this is all God said to me. 7 days of fasting. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. Click. Right? I was like, 7 days? I'm a big dude. God said, that's it. So she said, well, since that's what God told you, maybe you should study everything about the days of Noah. Because all I knew was in the 120th year, the flood started. So in the 120th year, the world's going to be in a worldwide judgment and the flood's going to start. And then it started in the 120th year, in 2020, the whole world came under judgment. And I'm like, wow, okay, it happened, but I never studied the rest of the trip. Because my thing is that when the flood starts, the boat immediately leaves the world. And the Holy Spirit immediately leaves the world. But I didn't consider the fact that while the world was in trouble and people were dying around them, they were still on the boat. They were still feeling the turbulence, although it wasn't affecting them. But they were still on the boat. So as we're here and we're like, okay, this pandemic started, and they're doing this thing, and people are dying from the vaccine, and all this stuff is going on, and they're still trying to bring up, now we got a booster shot, and all of this stuff, and we're still under the same lie, right? And all of this stuff is going on, and we're like, man, the 120th year, we're on the boat. We don't want to deal with this. But you're on the boat. You're not gone yet.
Right.
So when the Lord woke me up a week or so ago, and he said, I want you to read Genesis chapter 8. Now, another young lady, not the one I just said, had sent me a message on Thursday that said, Pastor, do you think that the dove and the raven have anything to do with the coming rapture? And she sent that message to me on Thursday, but I didn't have time, so I just preached what I had on Sunday. But I hit her back up. I said, it's amazing God sent that to you on Thursday. I didn't get a chance to read it, but he still made sure I got the message because he had me read Genesis chapter 8 that night. And so I'm reading Genesis chapter 8, and it's giving you the story of what happened while they're on the boat, okay? While the pandemic is still going on around them, okay? And it says here in verse 3, we'll start at verse 3, and it says, and the waters receded steadily from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days, the waters had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to a rest on Mount Ararat. So I'm seeing, okay, they've been on the boat for 150 days. There are dead bodies laying around.
Right.
In the water, okay? But they're on the boat, they're safe, but there's still trouble all around. Okay, it's been 150 days. It says, the water continued to recede until the 10th month. That means after the 150 was the seventh month. So the eighth, the rest of the seventh month, because it was only the 17th, the rest of the seventh month, then the eighth month and the ninth month, they're still on the boat, okay? So it says the waters receded until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, so now it's the first day of the 10th month, and they could see the top of the mountains became visible. Then it says 40 more days passed, and Noah opened the window in the ark and sent out a raven. Now 40 days from the 10th month, from the first day of the 10th month, is the 9th of Av, which is the same day both temples got destroyed. So he's sending out a raven, which is a man, a flesh-eating, defiled bird from God, and he gives you a list, I think in Leviticus, of all the birds that are defiled and an abomination to him, and a raven is one of them.
Yeah.
He lets out the raven, but he lets it go on the same day that the 10 spies scared all the people and told them we can't go in the land. The same day both temples were destroyed. So this is not just we're letting the raven out. I'm giving you a time of what's going on the ark and what's happening. Now, some people believe that the ninth of Av already happened because they didn't follow God's calendar and they followed man's calendar. I know that the 9th of Av is the 16th and 17th of this month, okay? So now that they're still on the boat, they are, it says 40 days, and then Noah opened the window and he made that he made in the ark and sent a raven out, and it kept flying back and forth until the waters dried up from the earth. Now, that word dried up, Yavesh in Hebrew is dried up. This word, and I can't think of the word now, it means devastated, destroyed, in destruction, right? So the raven flew until he saw the destruction and devastation of the whole earth, till it had dried up in that way. Okay, so there's two different words they're interpreting as dried up, but one of them means devastation and destruction, the other one just means dry. Okay, then it doesn't say then he sent out a dove. What it says in the Hebrew is he sent out a raven and he sent out a dove. So he does it both in the same day. He doesn't send out the raven, then wait, and then send out a dove. He says he sent out a raven and he sent out a dove. So the dove, here it is. It says, then he sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set his feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So he returned to Noah in the ark, and he reached out his hand and took the dove and brought him back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days. Now we're still on the boat, right? And again, he sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove returned to him in the evening. So he sent him out in the day, but that very evening, the dove came back, but now he has an olive branch in his mouth representing Israel. Okay? It's freshly snatched off, and he says, there in his beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days, so that's 2 sets of 7, and sent out the dove again, but this time the dove did not return. And for some reason, I have a nun set there, which means life, and I don't remember why I put that Hebrew letter nun there. But now the dove leaves, but the dove doesn't go back. Who's the dove representing?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. When you see the dove ascending upon him, right? That is the Son of God. Now, God said, look, you don't need to go to ministry school, learn Hebrew, and I'll teach you the Bible. And I realized there's things that God did in the Bible that we don't understand, but he makes it so clear that it's like putting the ingredients in so you know who did it, right? So this is what God does. Someone may say, well, I don't think the dove represents the Holy Spirit. I'd say, okay, but you know what I say now? Well, let's check the numbers. Because God did an expert job with making sure the numerical values of the Hebrew and the Greek match and confirm each other, okay? So, the word dove in Hebrew is the same word of Jonah. Like you say Jonah, the guy who got swallowed by the whale. So it has the same numerical, it has the same name, Jonah. A dove, Jonah, it's the same thing. Now, hold on to that. You got the dove is 71, numerical value is 71 in Hebrew. This is what God does. When he wants to tell you the real meaning of a Hebrew word, he'll times it times 10 in the Greek so you'll know the true meaning. So he makes the Passover in Hebrew, Pesach, he makes that 148. So when you look in the Greek, he times it times 10, and it's 1480 is time 10. So our Passover is Christ. So I'm going to make it plain to you who the Passover is by timing it by 10 and putting it in the Greek. I'm just letting you know, your God is incredible. So he puts the dove 71 in Hebrew, but it's 710, the Holy Spirit, in Greek. You understand? So he puts the word eternal God in Hebrew, but let's see, eternal God. Eternal God is the scripture in Revelation that says He who was, who is, and who is to come. But it's 2320 is time 10, the numerical value. Even he goes as far as a 6,000 number. He says that it says, you shall have no other God before me. But in Greek, it says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But he times that times 10. So he said, you shall worship no other God but me. And he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him you shall serve. That's times 10 of that. So he does this so that we'll know, check the numbers, because the numbers won't lie. You can believe what you want, but the numbers never lie. Is that right, Nicole? She, Nicole is an accountant. She knows. So now look. Girl got her master's. I'm going to ask Nicole. So anyway, this is how God has structured the Bible. So this is why when you see in Deuteronomy, they have rejected the rock of their salvation. The rock is Zor, right? Zor is 296, but in Greek, he times it times three because the rock is a trinity, and it's 888, which is the name of Jesus in Greek. You understand? So God is doing all of these things with numbers, and I can sit here and tell you more, and it blows my mind. I was like, how are you doing all this and writing a story and making sure people are not doing bad stuff? But God is incredible. So here we have the dove, and God is letting you know that the dove is the Holy Spirit because of the numbers don't lie. So when this Holy Spirit leaves the boat, because who's on the ark?
We are.
Those who are being brought to salvation. We are the seven churches plus one. We are the seven churches plus one. That's eight people on the boat being brought out of the world into the kingdom. So we can be assured that God is speaking to us.
Amen.
Let's continue more, because I got excited when the Lord showed me this morning. So here, let's go to, because I was supposed to be in Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because this is what the message is supposed to be about. What's that? Yeah, now we're getting to the message. My wife's laughing. You finally getting to it? Hallelujah. I did Pastor Ben, because Pastor Ben used to do that. He used to talk for like 2 hours, and then he'd go, now I'm going to get to the message. Okay, you in Thessalonians chapter 2?
Amen.
Okay. Oh, okay, 2 Thessalonians. I hope you're there. Okay. Okay, it says, concerning the coming of our Lord, okay, the Greek, it's the same word, but it means even his gathering us to him. Okay? So in the Greek, it's not talking about two events. It's talking about the same event. Okay? Because it's like you should love the Lord, love Jesus Christ, and then they'll translate it and God the Father. Like, but it'll say in Greek, you shall love the Lord your Jesus Christ, even the Father in heaven, right? So he's telling you in Greek, it's not just and making it two, it's even or also this being the same. You understand? So the word can be used in two different ways. So you got to know by context what you're talking about. So here he's saying this, look, he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, even our being gathered to him. We ask you, brother, not to become unsettled, easily unsettled, or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure happens. So in your Bible, it'll say an apostasy, okay? which we turned into a religious word to mean falling away. But George Maronakis, if you're listening to me, I might need you to come here and help me out. Apostasy has never been a religious word in Greek. Now you can say, hey, that guy used to be a Christian, but he's apostasied from being a Christian. What does that mean? He's departed from being a Christian. But you can also say, I was in the store and the prices were too high, so I apostasied the store. What did you do? You departed. So the word is used as departed. It's not a religious word that's automatically connected to falling away from your religion. Understand? So the word and it means a defection. And I love that word. It means a defect, right? Okay, price is through here, let's defect. You know, we don't want to be here no more, right? A defection is also something that's done in a war, okay? Because now you were there, but you're leaving, you're defecting, you're moving on, you're getting out of the country, right? Which is what ambassadors do. Okay, so it says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure occurs. And it says, and the son of man, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up as in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Okay? Now, so he's going to be in the temple, proclaiming himself to be who? God. But when God comes, just like the story, right, that we read last week in Joel, he's going to get nailed in the temple, because that's what Deborah's friend Jael did, right? Jael nailed him in the temple. He's going to get nailed in the temple. Okay? So we know that God keeps telling us the same story. So understand, God wrote this before the world started taking on the book. Remember, the book's not taking on the world. The world is taking on the book. The book didn't come up with 666. I mean, the world didn't come up with 666. The book came up with 666. The world's disobeying. So if you know who wrote the book and you know everything that he wrote is coming true, why are you panicked? And you're born again and you're an ambassador, and no one leaves their ambassadors in a city that's about to be destroyed. So what are you panicking for? Because God is in control of this whole thing, and he wants you to know that. Yes, you're still on the boat. I know it's still a little rocky, but there's no sense in jumping off the boat.
Amen.
Ain't nothing in the water. Hey, let's continue.
Amen.
It says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. The secret powers of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who is holding him back, they use this word twice, and it's the Greek word Kateko, which means a restrainer. The restrainer is holding him back. Okay. And it says, but the one who holds him back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. So the one who's holding him back has to be done what? Has to be taken out of the way. The dove has to leave. You understand? The Holy Spirit has to go. The church has to leave. So now I want to know, the restrainer, is that the same as the Holy Spirit? So I checked that out. The Spirit, now watch this. The Spirit is written this way. It's written different in the Greek sometimes, and it's written two different ways in the Greek, okay? Now watch this. When you write the Holy Spirit, it's 7:10. When you write spirits, but this is a different type of spirit. This is spirits belonging to God. It's written different. It has the numerical value of 1,726, the same numerical value as the restrainer, the one who holds him back. The same numerical value as the crowns that are put on our head when we get up there in Revelation chapter 4. So see, the numbers don't lie. You can come up with a story, you can pretend, you can like, I'm knowledgeable, but a true person who is an accountant, they're gonna say, let's get back to the numbers. Okay, so now I know that the restrainer is the spirits. And I know that the restrainer is connected to the spirit and Revelation chapter 4, when the spirits are in heaven and receiving crowns, because crown has the same numerical value as the restrainer and spirits. I don't want to guess at God's word. I want to know that we're safe. I want to know that I belong to the God who's controlling things. Okay? I heard the ladies in their Bible study this morning, and I mean, that was a great Bible study. I almost didn't get anything done. I was like, oh, this is good. I'm in the living room going, amen, sister. They're doing their Bible studies, and they talk about the word hope. And in the Hebrew, hope is always an expectation of something. Hope is never like, ooh, I'm just kind of dreaming and wishing that. It's doing something with an expectation. I think it's Psalms 27. The whole thing at the end is about this hope. Kaveh Adonai means hope with expectation, okay? So I'm not sitting here like, ooh, I hope there is a pre-tribulation rapture. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. I'm expecting. I know it's going to happen. I'm just trying to get you on board so you understand that it was written before the earth came. I'm just getting you on board to let you know that the author of 2020, the COVID and the whole flood thing of the whole earth was written by the author before the world decided to do it. And I want you to know that you're a part of the spirits of. You're not just a spirit. You're part of the spirits that belong to the Father, okay? Which numerical value is 1726, the same as the restrainer who's being removed, who's holding him back.
Yeah, amen.
I'll get to that scripture in Hebrew in a second. Let's continue, huh? How many times? How much time? Good, okay. It says, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed in the proper time. When's the proper time? It tells you in the beginning. Well, the proper time is don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the departure happens. Mm-hmm. So the proper time is not until the departure happens. Then he will be revealed. Then he will come, but not until the departure happens. Okay? So it says, for the secret lawlessness is already at work, but the one who is holding him back will continue to hold him back until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. That's fire. And destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. What's Satan's work? 666. What's your shot name number? 060606. Okay? Who is Lucifer? Satan. What's the name of the ingredient in your vax or your shot? Lucifer race ingredient. That's what they call it. Just want you to know that the author of the book already wrote this in 90 AD. So this is not new to him. God's not going to be going, ah! I'm shocked they're actually doing it. It's like he expects it to happen. Mm-hmm. Becoming one with lawlessness and be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders. Those are coming. And it says, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. So the signs and wonders from Satan are coming upon the earth to deceive those who are perishing. Why would God let them perish? They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. They didn't want to hear the spirit of the ministry of reconciliation.
Right.
They refused to hear it and so be saved. So he says the reason they're perishing is because they would not take the shot to cure them. They would look, watch this. And it says, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. They delight in things that God hates. Let's go do some shots after work. Have you slept with her yet? Have you done this? Have you tried that drug? You're going out this weekend? They delight in wickedness. One of the girls won the Olympic thing, a shot putter. She did a whole thing on the talk show about the LB, whatever letters they're using now, community. And they're sitting there just, and the reporter's like, that is so lovely. That is wonderful that you guys are sticking together, like you have decided to sin against God together.
Together.
Love is love. And I'm realizing the world is crazy. You're sitting here letting this young lady believe like what she believes is something good for the earth. And God says, this is why they're perishing. Because if you go tell that same person, and you know Jesus loves you and homosexuality is a sin, and you can come out of it and he can save you, you don't have to go to hell. They'll go, you're a hater. That is just racist. Really? So I'm letting you know, look, everybody ain't making it. And they're not making it because they're really nice, good people. You understand? They're not making it because the scripture says they refuse the love of the truth, but they delight in wickedness. They delight in it. They do it and they brag. And then you tell them and they call you names. Yep. Stabbed that girl the other day out there preaching on the street. And a guy stabbed her. Didn't even. And look, I'm sending you the video, Pastor Ben. The girls were out there preaching Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And a guy comes and tries to stab her. She puts her hand up. He cuts her hand and a little bit of her face. And then he runs off. The girl stands up and starts talking, preaching the gospel again. I see somebody just tried to stab you. They're like, you sure you don't want an ambulance or anything? She's like, I'm okay. Jesus loves you.
Yes. Oh, I got to see that.
I'm going to send it to you. So I need you to know and understand. When people love their own lie, they will defend it with violence.
Yeah.
Let's continue. Listen to this. Okay. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. They delight in it. Okay, I want to show you something concerning this. Watch this, okay? Let's go to Hebrews. And I hope I wrote it down. Where's my scripture? Is it Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9? It says here, moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. So much more should we submit to the Father of spirits. That's what it says in Greek. The Father of spirits. Listen. And live. So when it says when you that we should submit to the Father of spirits, who's the Father of spirits? God. Numerical value 1726, the restrainer. Right there. You see that? So the scriptures are telling you that the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Because the spirit that's restraining him are the spirits that belong to God. When the spirits that belong to God leave, the restrainer has left. Because the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, lives in us. And Eleazar has to take the bride back to go marry the son. So if you don't understand all this stuff that God's telling you in scripture, you miss it. And then if you don't understand you're an ambassador here, you miss it. Because any ambassador who is living in that country and taking on the ways of that country and acting as if they're citizens has forgotten where they came from. President calls you to let you know there's a war, you ain't even answering. I'm about to take everybody out. There's going to be a war. I'm trying to get a hold of. Can't get a hold of him. I'm trying to let him know we're about to destroy the place. You know, get ready, right? This is the lukewarm Christians, right? This is the lukewarm Christians, the Lord's showing me. They're lukewarm. I'm trying to get a hold of them to let them know war's coming. Get your act together, pack your bags, and get ready to go. He said, this is the lukewarm Christian. I can't even get a hold of them. They hear the phone ringing, but they've already adjusted into the country that they live, and they know if they pick up the phone, they might have to do right. So they just leave it undone. Yet they say, I'm here representing the kingdom of God. Yeah, well, the kingdom of God been calling you all night, letting you know things about to be destroyed, and you haven't answered the phone because you busy with Marjorie Francois, whatever her name is, right? You all in a foreign country. You call it a relationship. Amen. You're in a relationship with a foreign country that has nothing to do with where you came from. Amen. But so you don't want to answer the phone.
What's the name again, Pastor?
I could say it again if I want to. Listen, the Lord said there, he said they're ambassadors, they still call my name, they even still got a passport that says they belong to me, but they won't answer the phone. So I can't even get them to pack their bags or go to the airport. But they still got the card. And they're still telling people, I'm an American. You are, you're saying it, but you won't answer your phone. War comes and you're sitting there with your little girlfriend in a French restaurant.
Right.
Boom!
Yep.
Why didn't you call me and let me know? I tried to call you. I sent Pastor Sandy, sent Pastor Dan. I said, Revelation 12 guy who we're praying for because his dad just died. Wonderful guy that's in ministry. I mean, God is sending people to wake people up in the midst of obvious stuff that's going on in front of us. And people still won't wake up. So once we go, once the Holy Spirit leaves, once the dove leaves the boat, The dove ain't coming back. Next thing you will see is Nimrod, the Antichrist, controlling the whole world.
Yeah.
Couple of chapters right after that, right?
Yeah.
Controlling the whole world. And you won't see Jesus again till he comes down and breaks up Babylon. God bless you. You guys have a great rest of the Sunday. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness.